All right, so check this out for our deep dive today.
Uh-huh.
You sent in a dramatic reading of the Book of Acts.
Great.
Narrated by Alexander Scarabee.
Oh, wow.
This guy, you know, his voice is amazing.
Yeah.
He could make a grocery list sound like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So this is going to be epic.
It's going to be really interesting to approach this book.
Right.
Not just as text, but as performance.
Yeah.
Scarabee's incredible voice really brings these stories to life.
Okay. So the Book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
it picks up where the Gospels leave off.
Right.
Jesus has ascended to heaven.
Yeah.
And the disciples are kind of like, what now?
Mm-hmm.
They're told to hang tight in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit.
It's interesting that they're specifically told to wait for the promise of the Father.
Okay.
This is a direct reference to Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Which really sets the stage for the entire narrative of Acts.
Yeah.
As the story of the Holy Spirit empowering and guiding the early church.
And that arrival is anything but subtle. We're talking a massive rush of wind.
Wow.
Tongues of fire appearing over people's heads.
Okay.
It's the day of Pentecost.
Uh-huh.
And things are about to get wild.
Imagine the scene.
Yeah.
You've got people from all over the Roman Empire gathered in Jerusalem.
Right.
And suddenly,
yeah.
they can all understand the disciples.
Okay.
Each hearing them in their native language.
Uh-huh.
It's a powerful image of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Breaking down barriers and spreading the message far and wide.
It's a complete game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to the formation of the early Christian community in Jerusalem.
Right.
These folks were living a radically different lifestyle.
Yeah.
Sharing everything they had.
Mm-hmm.
Eating together.
Yeah.
Devoted to prayer.
Wow.
They even sold all their possessions and distributed the proceeds to anyone in need.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really striking image of communal living and radical generosity that's core to the early church.
Yeah.
The question it raises for me is, how sustainable was this way of life?
Right.
Acts only gives us a glimpse into this period.
Yeah.
It's a powerful testament to the early church's commitment to social justice.
It definitely makes you wonder how it worked in practice.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff.
Okay.
Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples,
mm-hmm.
he heals a lame beggar at the temple gate.
Right.
And he immediately makes it clear.
Yeah.
That this miracle wasn't because of him,
uh-huh.
but because of Jesus.
Okay.
But you guessed it.
What?
This lands him in hot water with the authorities.
Peter and John's boldness in proclaiming Jesus,
okay.
even in the face of opposition,
yeah.
is something you see throughout Acts.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish authorities command them to stop teaching in Jesus' name.
Okay.
But they absolutely refuse.
Uh-huh.
It's an early act of defiance
yeah.
that sets the stage for how Christians would navigate persecution in the years to come.
And the persecution definitely intensifies.
Yeah.
Stephen. Another important figure in the early church,
mm-hmm.
he delivers a powerful testimony
mm-hmm.
before the Sanhedrin,
right.
which was the highest Jewish council at the time.
Okay.
And tragically, he ends up being stoned to death.
Stephen's death is a real turning point.
Yeah.
It marks a shift from debate within the Jewish community to outright persecution of Christians.
Right.
Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
looks up to heaven
mm-hmm.
and sees the glory of God even as he's being stoned.
Wow.
It speaks volumes about the depth of faith in these early believers.
That's powerful.
And you're right.
Yeah.
Saul, who later becomes the Apostle Paul,
uh-huh.
is a witness to all of this.
Now, this Saul guy,
yes.
he'd been actively persecuting Christians.
Right.
But then on his way to Damascus,
mm-hmm.
he has a completely unexpected encounter.
Wow.
With the resurrected Jesus.
Saul's transformation is one of the most dramatic in the Bible.
Yeah.
It highlights the power of encountering Jesus. Even for someone so deeply opposed to the Christian message,
mm-hmm.
there's this beautiful detail where Ananias,
yeah.
a disciple in Damascus,
uh-huh.
is initially terrified of Saul.
Oh, wow.
But is instructed by God to find him and heal his blindness.
Wow.
Talk about a powerful moment of forgiveness and reconciliation.
So much is happening already.
It really is.
It seems like a real whirlwind of events.
The early church is facing these incredible challenges
yeah.
from both inside and outside the community,
mm.
but they're finding the strength and courage to move forward.
So after this dramatic conversion experience,
yeah.
Saul, now known as Paul,
yeah.
begins his incredible journey spreading the message of Jesus far and wide.
Yes. Paul's missionary journeys take him all over the Roman Empire.
Okay.
and he encounters so much diversity along the way, it leads to some really important questions about how to include Gentiles, people who weren't Jewish, into the Christian community.
I'm guessing that caused some friction.
That's exactly right.
Right.
The clash between Jewish and Gentile Christians is a major theme in Acts.
Okay.
It reveals the challenges of applying the teachings of Jesus to a growing and diverse community. How do you maintain unity when people come from such different backgrounds and have different views on religious practice?
It makes you think.
These questions still resonate today as communities grapple with issues of inclusivity and diversity.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see how these age-old questions were already playing out in the early church.
It really highlights the human element in all of this.
Right.
These weren't just abstract theological debates. Mm. They were real-life struggles about how to live out faith in a complex world.
So how did they handle this conflict
between
Jewish and Gentile Christians?
That's where the Council of Jerusalem comes in.
Okay.
This is a pivotal moment in the early church
where
the leaders come together to tackle this very issue.
Uh-huh.
Do Gentile converts have to follow Jewish law
to
be considered true Christians?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting.
Hmm?
What happened at this council?
It was a pretty intense gathering with lots of different perspectives and passionate arguments.
Uh-huh.
Peter, who had previously received a vision about the inclusion of Gentiles, shared his experience.
Oh.
And James, the brother of Jesus, offered a concluding statement that paved the way for the spread of Christianity beyond the Jewish community.
Wait, so are you saying they decided to welcome Gentiles?
Yes.
Without requiring them to follow all the Jewish laws?
That's right.
That seems like a pretty radical move.
It was a bold decision.
Yeah.
And it had a huge impact on the future of Christianity.
Right.
The council's decision essentially opened the doors for the gospel to spread to the entire world.
Wow.
Regardless of cultural or religious background.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
It's like we're watching a movement being born, facing these crucial turning points that would shape its future.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to hear what happens next.
Me neither.
Right.
The story of the early church in the book of Acts is full of twists and turns, moments of incredible courage and faith, and challenging questions that still resonate with us today.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah.
We've only scratched the surface of the book of Acts.
Absolutely.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay.
Ready to keep diving into this epic story.
Great.
What comes next?
Well, let's just say that things are about to get even more intense.
Oh, boy.
The early church will face new challenges.
Okay.
Including internal conflicts, external persecution, and the ever-present threat of Roman authority.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Buckle up.
I'm ready.
All right.
Okay, so we left off with that Council of Jerusalem, and they made this big decision to welcome Gentiles into the Christian community.
Right.
But without requiring them to follow all the Jewish laws.
Right.
That's a huge turning point.
It really was.
Especially considering the time.
It was a radical shift.
Yeah.
Imagine you're a Jewish believer, first century, deeply rooted in tradition, religious law, and suddenly you're asked to embrace people who are completely different,
with
different customs and beliefs.
I can only imagine.
It wasn't an easy transition.
The debates.
Yeah.
The disagreement.
But,
so how did the early church navigate this?
Well, it wasn't always smooth sailing.
Right.
Definitely some growing pains, internal conflicts.
Right. But the book of Acts also highlights how the Holy Spirit continued to guide them.
It does.
Leading them to new places.
Yeah, new and unexpected places.
So it wasn't just about making a decision.
Right.
It was about actually living it out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, in a complex world.
Were there any examples
absolutely
of these challenges?
Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They tried to deceive the apostles.
They did.
By holding back profits from selling property while pretending they gave everything.
Like they wanted the credit.
Yeah.
Without actually following through.
What happened to them?
Peter confronts them.
Oh.
Directly reveals their deceit.
Okay.
It doesn't end well.
Whoa. That's a powerful reminder.
It is.
About honesty and integrity.
Yeah, especially in a community
built
on trust and shared resources.
Makes you think about the values today.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So amidst all this,
the
persecution from outside,
yes,
it continued.
It did.
We talked about Stephen stoning.
Yeah.
But it seems like that was just the beginning.
Sadly, you're right.
Yeah.
The apostles themselves faced imprisonment.
Right.
Threats.
Mm-hmm.
They were arrested.
Okay.
Thrown into prison.
For their preaching.
Yes. But then an angel.
An angel.
Miraculously sets them free.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
An angel just breaks them out of jail.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
What happened next?
The angel instructs them,
uh-huh,
go right back to the temple and continue preaching.
Wow.
Talk about a bold move.
Yeah.
Returning to the place they were arrested.
Right.
They just couldn't be silenced.
That's some serious dedication.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it didn't go well.
You're right.
With the authority.
They're brought before the high priest.
Right.
The Sanhedrin again.
Yeah.
But instead of backing down.
Okay.
Peter and the other apostles declare,
mm-hmm,
that they must obey God.
Wow.
Rather than human authority.
That's a powerful statement.
It is.
About their priorities.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that everyone in the Sanhedrin was on board with this.
There was a Pharisee named Gamaliel.
Okay.
A respected member of the council.
Mm-hmm.
He steps in, delivers this fascinating speech.
What'd he say?
He advises the council to leave the apostles alone.
Really?
Arguing that if this movement is just human,
yeah,
it'll fizzle out.
Okay.
But if it's from God,
right,
there's no way they can stop it.
That's an interesting perspective.
It is.
Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
He wasn't necessarily endorsing it.
Right.
But urging caution.
Yeah.
What was the reaction?
His words had a significant impact.
Okay.
The council decides to release the apostles.
Okay.
But with a warning.
So the apostles kept preaching.
They did.
The movement kept growing.
Yeah.
Despite the opposition.
Yeah.
But as the number of disciples multiplied.
Yeah.
I imagine they ran into some logistical challenges.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
As the Christian community expanded,
yeah,
they needed to find ways to support one another.
Okay.
Especially the widows, who were often vulnerable.
Right.
It's fascinating, yeah, to see how they addressed these practical needs.
So what do they do?
Yeah. They took a very organized approach.
Okay.
This is where we see the emergence of deacons. Seven men,
mm-hmm,
chosen by the community,
yeah,
to oversee the distribution of food.
Okay.
And resources.
So basically they created a system.
Yes.
To make sure everyone was taken care of.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
It freed up the apostles.
It did.
To focus on teaching prayer.
Yeah.
Who were these deacons?
Among those chosen.
Yeah.
Were Stephen, a, mm-hmm, man full of faith and power.
Right.
And Philip.
Okay.
Who plays a significant role.
Okay.
In the spread of the gospel beyond Jerusalem.
This is where it gets really interesting.
It does.
We've been focused on Jerusalem so far.
Yeah.
Sounds like the message is starting to break out.
It is.
Tell me more about Philip.
Philip's work is significant.
Okay.
Because it marks the beginning of the gospel.
Yeah.
Spreading to new regions.
Uh-huh.
Specifically Samaria.
Okay.
This region had a complex relationship with Judea. There was a lot of tension.
Right.
And Philip encountered some resistance.
So even within this expanding movement.
Right.
There were still cultural and historical things to unpack.
Yeah.
What kind of resistance did Philip face?
Well, he had this fascinating encounter with Simon Magus.
Simon Magus. Okay.
A sorcerer.
Okay.
Quite popular in Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
Simon was so impressed by Philip's miracles.
Right.
That he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit?
That's
wild.
I know.
I guess some things never change.
Right.
There's always someone trying to capitalize,
yeah,
on something sacred.
Exactly.
How did Philip respond?
He immediately shut Simon down.
Okay.
Making it clear.
Yeah.
God's gifts cannot be bought or sold.
That's a powerful reminder.
It is.
That the Christian faith isn't about power.
Right.
Or personal gain.
Yeah.
But about a transformation of the heart.
Exactly.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
So what happened to Simon Magus?
The text doesn't tell us,
okay,
what ultimately happened to Simon.
Right.
But this encounter highlights the challenges,
yeah,
the early Christians faced,
mm-hmm,
as they encountered different worldviews.
Right. Different belief systems.
Yeah. They had to discern,
uh-huh,
what was authentic faith.
Right.
And what was just seeking power.
Yeah.
Or prestige.
That's a challenge that still resonates today.
It does.
Right. Yeah. Figuring out what's truly genuine.
Yeah.
So Philip's journey didn't end with Simon Magus.
It didn't.
Right.
No.
You mentioned earlier that he played a key role.
I did.
In spreading the gospel beyond Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Where did he go next?
Well, after Samaria.
Yeah.
He's guided by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
To a desert road.
A desert road. Okay.
Where he encounters an Ethiopian eunuch. a high-ranking official who had traveled to Jerusalem to worship.
Okay, so we're talking about someone from a completely different culture and background.
Yeah.
This is really starting to paint a picture.
It is.
Of how Christianity began to spread.
Yeah.
What was Philip's interaction like?
It's a fascinating encounter.
Yeah.
The eunuch is reading a passage from Isaiah, but doesn't understand it.
Right.
Philip, prompted by the Holy Spirit, approaches him and explains the meaning of the text, connecting it to Jesus.
Sounds like a divine appointment.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit orchestrating this meeting.
It does.
On a desert road.
Yeah.
Did the Ethiopian eunuch believe?
He did.
Wow.
The eunuch is so moved that he asks to be baptized.
Right there.
Right there on the spot.
Wow.
Philip, seeing the genuine faith, baptizes him.
That's such a beautiful story.
It is.
How the Holy Spirit can work
it is.
In unexpected ways.
Yeah.
Bringing people together.
Right.
Through the message of Jesus.
And that's a key theme in the book of Acts.
It is.
The Holy Spirit's guidance. It's not just a historical account.
Right.
It's a testament to the active presence of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Opening doors.
Yeah.
Connecting people.
Mm-hmm.
Empowering believers.
You know, it's easy to think of the Bible as this ancient text.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear stories like this, it comes alive.
It does.
In a new way.
It really does.
You see how these events were shaping lives
mm-hmm.
and how their experiences are still relevant.
They are.
It's inspiring.
I agree.
It's easy to get bogged down
mm-hmm.
in the historical details.
Yeah.
But the book of Acts, it's a story about faith, courage, and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, to transform lives.
It makes you wonder
how
many divine appointments we might miss if we're not paying attention.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So Philip's ministry takes the gospel to Samaria and beyond.
It does.
But what about Paul?
Well, buckle up.
Okay.
Paul's story
is
about to get even more adventurous.
Right.
After his conversion, he embarks on three major missionary journeys.
Okay.
Taking the message to the far reaches of the Roman Empire.
So this is where things get epic.
Yes.
I'm ready for some more of those incredible stories, what challenges and triumphs.
Well, Paul's missionary trips were filled with both danger and divine intervention.
Okay.
He faced opposition from both Jews and Romans.
Wow.
Endured shipwrecks.
Shipwrecks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was even imprisoned.
Oh.
But through it all,
he
remained steadfast in his mission.
It sounds like he had unwavering determination.
Yeah.
Where did his journeys take him?
His travels took him
all
over the Roman Empire.
Wow.
From Antioch in Syria to Ephesus in Asia Minor, Corinth in Greece.
Okay.
And eventually all the way to Rome.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Crossing boundaries.
Bringing the message of Jesus to people from all walks of life.
That's right.
Were there any particular stories?
Oh, there are so many.
Give me one.
He engages in philosophical debates with Greek thinkers in Athens.
Oh.
Heals the sick.
Okay.
Casts out demons.
Uh-huh.
Performs miracles that left people astonished.
Wow.
He faced angry mobs.
Right.
Endured beatings.
Oh my gosh.
Even spent time in prison.
Wow.
Yet his spirit never wavered.
He sounds like a force of nature.
He was.
But it wasn't just about performing miracles, preaching sermons.
Yeah.
Did he also face internal challenges?
Absolutely. As the church expanded, there were debates and disagreements.
About?
How to apply the teachings of Jesus to different cultural contexts.
Makes sense.
Paul addressed these issues in his letters.
Oh, right.
Which became foundational texts.
Those are still studied today.
They are.
They offer incredible insights.
They do.
It's amazing how much one person can accomplish
when
they're driven by a sense of purpose.
Exactly.
But it wasn't just Paul out there.
Right.
What was happening back in Jerusalem?
The apostles in Jerusalem were also busy spreading the gospel, performing miracles, and facing persecution.
So the movement was growing on multiple fronts.
It was.
With both Paul and the apostles in Jerusalem.
That's right.
What were some of the miracles?
Well, for example, there's the story of Peter healing Aeneas.
Aeneas.
A man who had been paralyzed for 8 years.
8 years.
We're and he left. Also raises Tabitha, a beloved disciple from the dead.
Wow, these are powerful miracles.
They are.
It's like we're witnessing the birth of a movement that would change the world.
It would.
It's both exhilarating
and
a little bit terrifying.
Yeah.
but it seems like those challenges were only going to intensify.
Exactly.
Right.
The early church found itself caught in this web, internal and external pressures.
What kinds of pressures?
There were debates about Jewish law.
Right.
Ongoing persecution from both Jewish and Roman authorities.
Okay.
And the threat of violence.
It's almost like they were walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
Trying to stay true to their faith.
Right.
While navigating these difficult circumstances.
And through it all,
The
Holy Spirit was guiding them.
It's a story of resilience.
It is.
Determination. Mm-hmm. Unwavering faith.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, that's a story for our final part of this deep dive.
Okay.
The book of Acts is full of twists and turns.
All right.
And the journey of the early church is far from over.
Okay.
We've got Paul's adventures in Rome.
Oh, wow.
Dramatic courtroom scenes.
Courtroom scenes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. More shipwrecks. Wow.
And even a close encounter with a venomous snake.
A snake.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Buckle up.
I'm ready. We're back for the final part of our deep dive.
Yeah.
Into the book of Acts.
Okay.
Things are about to get really interesting.
They are.
We left off with Paul's missionary journeys.
Yeah.
Spreading the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But also the early church facing persecution.
Right.
Feels like we're heading towards the climax.
The tension is definitely building. The story of the early church as told in Acts.
Right.
Full of dramatic twists and turns.
Okay, so remind me, where did we leave off with Paul?
Paul returns to Jerusalem.
Okay.
After his third journey.
Right.
And it's not a warm welcome.
Oh, no.
The Jewish leaders are still furious with him.
So even after all his travels, he still faces opposition.
Yeah, from within his own community.
What was it about Paul's message?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It gets to the heart of the clashes. Paul's insistence that Gentile converts didn't have to follow Jewish laws was seen as radical. It challenged the authority of the Jewish establishment.
It's fascinating.
It is.
How these debates had consequences.
They did.
So what happens to Paul?
Things escalate pretty quickly.
Oh.
Remember that prophecy?
Yeah, from Agabus.
Yes.
That Paul would be bound.
Yes, and handed over to the Gentiles.
That comes true.
In a dramatic fashion.
Okay.
Paul is accused of bringing Gentiles into the temple.
Oh.
A serious offense.
Right.
The situation erupts.
Wow.
A mob tries to kill him.
Whoa, that sounds intense.
Yeah, it was. The Roman authorities, fearing a riot,
intervene
and take Paul into custody.
That's a close call.
It is.
But now, instead of the Jewish authorities, he's dealing with Rome.
Exactly.
So we've gone from Jewish conflict to Roman law.
To the bigger picture of how Christianity was navigating this world.
So what happens to Paul?
He's brought before the Sanhedrin to give an account of himself.
Uh-huh.
And this is where Paul's brilliance shines through.
How so?
He delivers the skillful defense, leveraging his knowledge of Jewish law.
So smart.
Even stirs up some old rivalries.
Between
the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
I know.
Buying himself some time.
He's a smooth operator.
He was.
But I'm guessing the Jewish leaders,
they were determined,
weren't going to give up.
They hatched a plot, assassinate him.
What?
But his nephew eludes the Romans.
Oh, wow. That's lucky.
It was.
What'd the Romans do?
They decide to transfer Paul to Caesarea.
Okay.
To face trial.
Before
the Roman governor, Felix.
So Paul's case is now in the hands of the Roman legal system.
That's right.
What was Felix like?
Felix is a fascinating character.
Yeah.
More interested in bribes.
Than justice.
Yes.
Wow. So even within Roman law?
Yeah.
Paul faces injustice.
He does.
Did he get to defend himself?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Paul uses his time to share his faith with Felix and his wife, Drusilla.
Okay.
He speaks about righteousness, self-control, judgment.
What'd they think?
Felix trembled at Paul's words.
Wow. But he didn't release him.
No, he didn't.
That's a powerful image.
It is.
Even a Roman governor trembling
at
the message of Jesus.
Mm.
So Paul's in prison for 2 years.
Right.
What happens next?
Felix is replaced by Festus.
Festus, okay.
Who decides to re-examine Paul's case.
Okay.
The Jewish leaders renew their accusations. Mm. Festus can't find evidence.
Oh.
Paul, realizing he won't get a fair trial, makes a bold move.
What's that?
He appeals to Caesar.
He appealed to Caesar.
Yes.
That's gutsy.
It was a risky strategy.
Yeah.
But also brilliant.
The house.
By appealing to Caesar,
yeah,
Paul was taking his case out of the hands of the Jewish authorities
right.
and placing it under the emperor.
So he's playing the long game.
He is.
Hoping for justice.
That's right.
At the highest level.
Yes.
What was the reaction?
Well, here? Before he's sent to Rome,
yeah,
he gets one more opportunity.
To do what?
Share his story and his faith.
Okay.
King Agrippa, mm-hmm. who ruled over Judea.
Okay.
And his sister Bernice.
Okay.
Arrive in Caesarea.
Okay.
Festus wants to impress Agrippa. Right. So he presents Paul's case before them.
So Paul gets another chance.
He does.
To preach the gospel.
Yes.
This time before a king and queen.
Yes.
It's like his message is reaching everyone.
It is.
What was Paul's message?
Paul doesn't hold back.
Okay.
He delivers a powerful testimony.
Okay.
Recounting his conversion.
Right.
And his mission to both Jews and Gentiles.
Classic Paul.
Always bold.
Always passionate.
Challenging people.
What was Agrippa's reaction?
Agrippa was deeply impressed.
Wow.
He even says this man could have been set free
wow.
if he had not appealed to Caesar.
So even Agrippa
yeah.
recognized Paul's innocence.
He did.
And the power of his message.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul's fate was in Caesar's hands.
It was.
What happens next?
He does make it to Rome.
Okay.
But the journey is tough.
How so?
They encounter a massive storm.
Uh-oh.
Their ship is wrecked.
A shipwreck?
Yeah.
On Malta.
Okay.
And Paul has a close encounter, a venomous snake.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's amazing yeah. how Paul faces with faith.
Yeah.
Did the shipwreck shake his faith?
Not at all.
Wow.
He emerges unharmed, heals the sick on Malta.
Wow.
And continues preaching.
Nothing could stop him.
It seems that way.
So after all this drama,
yeah.
does Paul make it to Rome?
He does.
Right.
After months of travel,
right.
he arrives in Rome under house arrest,
okay.
waiting trial.
But even then, he doesn't stop.
He welcomes visitors,
right.
meets with Jewish leaders,
uh-huh.
and continues to proclaim the gospel.
So the book of Acts ends with
yeah.
Paul in Rome, still under arrest,
mm-hmm.
but still preaching.
Right.
What happens to Paul?
It's part of the beauty of Acts.
How so?
It's an open-ended story.
Right.
And invites us
See.
To consider the impact of the early church.
That's a powerful reminder.
It is.
The book of Acts is not just a text.
It's a living testament to the power of faith.
It challenges us
yeah.
to consider how we're living out our faith.
Exactly.
The early Christians faced so much.
They did.
And yet they persevered.
Yeah.
Their stories inspire us.
To live with boldness,
okay.
to speak truth, and to trust God.
This deep dive has been amazing.
It has.
We've witnessed miracles.
We
encountered inspiring characters.
Not any.
Explored challenging debates.
Yeah.
And glimpsed the birth of a movement.
It's been quite a journey.
What a privilege to explore this.
I agree.
It's been fascinating.
It has.
And I hope our listeners have been inspired.
I hope so too.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.